Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to be diving into a fascinating case that really shook up property law in California.
Oh yeah, this one's a big one.
It's Riddle v. Harmon. It's a case that every lawyer, especially those dealing with estate planning, really needs to know about.
Absolutely a game changer, for sure.
And, you know, it all boils down to this kind of crazy question. Can you actually break a joint tenancy just by transferring the property to yourself?
Sounds wild, right? But that's exactly what this case addressed, and it really simplified a lot of things in estate planning.
So much simpler.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so let's get into it. The case revolves around Frances Riddle, who found herself in a bit of a predicament. She wanted to leave her property to someone other than her husband, but guess what? They owned it as joint tenants.
Classic joint tenancy problem.
Yeah, and for our listeners who might not be familiar with this whole joint tenancy thing,
right.
It essentially means that if one of the owners passes away, their share automatically goes to the surviving owner. That's the right of survivorship.
Yep, it's a built-in feature of joint tenancy. And it can be great for some situations, like married couples wanting to ensure the property stays within the family, but it can also be a real headache in other cases.
Exactly. And in Frances' case, it meant she couldn't simply will her property to someone else. So what did she do? Well, she got creative and tried to sever the joint tenancy by transferring her interest to herself, but this time as a tenant in common.
Bold move.
Very bold. It was. Now, before Riddle came along, California law, as established in Clark v. Carter, required something called a straw man for this type of transfer.
Ah, yes, the straw man, good old days.
It sounds a bit like a legal game of hot potato.
Well, it was basically a legal workaround. You couldn't just transfer property to yourself. You needed a third party to hold it temporarily and then transfer it back.
So much extra work. Why all this fuss in the first place?
It all goes back to those ancient English property laws, you know, those ceremonies where they'd hand over a clump of dirt to symbolize the transfer of land.
I've heard of those.
That kind of evolved into the straw man idea. It was all about having a clear and official record of the transfer on the books.
Interesting. So they needed a physical act to represent the legal change?
Exactly. It made sense back then, but obviously it's pretty cumbersome for modern times.
Totally. So back to Frances and her audacious move. How did the courts react to her attempt to sidestep the straw man?
Well, initially, the trial court sided with her husband. They invalidated her transfer because she didn't use a straw man.
Makes sense, following the letter of the law.
Right. But hold on, because things took a turn when the case went up to the appellate court.
Here we go.
Things always get interesting at the appellate level. And the question before them was pretty straightforward. Can a joint tenant like Frances actually break a joint tenancy simply by transferring their interest to themselves in a different form of ownership? Can they just bypass the whole straw man thing?
Cut out the middleman. And what did they say?
The court's answer was a resounding yes. They basically said, goodbye, straw man, you're out of here. They ruled that Frances's deed was totally valid and boom. The joint tenancy was severed, creating a tenancy in common.
Wow, what a groundbreaking decision. I can already see why this case is so important, but I'm curious to hear what reasoning the court used to justify such a big change. What was their logic?
Well, they went back to basics. They looked at the four unities that are essential for a joint tenancy to exist. Unity of interest, title, time, and possession. When Frances changed her ownership, she disrupted one of these unities, the unity of title.
So by switching from being a joint tenant to a tenant in common, she basically broke the link that held the joint tenancy together.
Precisely. And the court was very clear in their opinion. They even kind of poked fun at those old dirt-clawed ceremonies from English law. You know, those days are over, folks. They basically said that modern methods of property transfer, like using deeds, are perfectly capable of handling these transactions without needing a middleman.
Makes sense. It's like saying we have these sophisticated legal tools. Now we don't need to cling to outdated rituals.
Right. And here's another interesting thing. The court acknowledged that lawyers were already finding clever ways around this straw man requirement. They were using things like trusts and other legal maneuvers. So the court basically said, why are we clinging to a rule that everyone's already finding ways to avoid? It just doesn't make sense.
They were like, let's be realistic here. This rule is outdated and everyone's already finding workarounds. It's time to ditch it. But it wasn't just about practicality, was it? It seems like there was something more at play here.
Absolutely. The court also placed a lot of emphasis on respecting Frances's clear intention to sever the tenancy. Her actions and that deed itself clearly showed what she wanted to accomplish.
So it was a win for both practicality and individual autonomy. That's fantastic. Riddle v. Harmon is truly a landmark case. It changed the game. It really did.
No doubt about it. And we're just getting started. Welcome back. So we've seen how Riddle v. Harmon really shook things up, made it so much easier to sever a joint tenancy.
Yeah, it's like a breath of fresh air, right? No more messing around with those straw men.
Exactly. But it's more than just convenience. This case kind of points to a bigger trend we're seeing in California law.
Oh, really? What do you mean?
Well, there's this growing preference for tenancies in common over joint tenancies. It's becoming more and more popular.
Interesting. Why do you think that is? What's driving this shift?
I think it comes down to flexibility. You see that automatic right of survivorship that comes with joint tenancy?
Right, the whole if one owner dies, their share goes to the other thing.
Yep, that can be great in some situations, like we said before, for married couples. But in other cases, it can be pretty limiting.
I can see that. Like, what if you're business partners who own property together?
Exactly. Or friends who've invested in a property, you might not want that automatic transfer to happen.
So it's like joint tenancy is a bit of a one-size-fits-all approach, and that doesn't always work in the real world.
That's it. Tenancies in common, on the other hand, offer way more flexibility. Each owner has their own separate share that they can transfer however they want. There's no automatic survivorship.
So you have more control over what happens to your part of the property even after you're gone.
Exactly. You can leave it to whoever you want in your will, sell it, whatever you choose.
It sounds like tenancies in common give people more individual freedom, more say in what happens to their property.
You got it. And I think that's a big part of why it's becoming more popular in California.
So Riddle v. Harmon kind of reflects this shift towards greater individual control in property ownership?
Absolutely. It's a sign of the times, I think.
Okay, so does this mean joint tenancies are a thing of the past?
Not necessarily. They still have their place, especially for married couples or if you have very specific estate planning goals. But Riddle definitely opened up the door for more options, more choices for property owners.
Like expanding our toolbox, right? Giving us more tools to work with.
Exactly. More flexibility, more control for individuals.
Now, all this talk about individual freedom and breaking free from old rules is pretty exciting, but aren't there some potential downsides to this? We talked before about the risk of one spouse secretly severing a joint tenancy. What other concerns might arise?
Well, one worry is that people might jump into severing a joint tenancy without fully understanding what they're doing. You know, joint tenancy has its own benefits that automatic survivorship can be a good thing in some cases.
So it's important to think things through, weigh the pros and cons before making any big decisions.
Definitely. Don't rush into anything. And this is where lawyers come in. We need to guide our clients, explain the differences between joint tenancy and tenancy in common, and help them make the best choice for their situation.
It's about more than just knowing the law. It's about understanding people's lives, their goals, and helping them achieve those goals.
You said it, and it's about recognizing that the law isn't just some abstract thing. It's a tool we can use to help people in very real ways.
That's a great point. So speaking of helping people, what are some practical steps people can take to protect their property rights, especially in light of Riddle v. Harmon?
Well, Riddle really highlighted the importance of clear documentation. Remember how Frances Riddle was very careful to document her intention to sever the joint tenancy?
Right. She made it crystal clear what she wanted to do.
Exactly. And that was a key factor in the court's decision. So whether you're creating a joint tenancy, severing it, or changing the ownership structure in any way, make sure those intentions are clearly documented in writing.
So it's not enough to just talk about it. You got to put it down on paper, make it official.
Precisely. It's like having a clear roadmap for everyone involved. It helps prevent misunderstandings and disputes later on.
And of course, clear communication between co-owners is crucial too, right?
Absolutely. Talking things through, making sure everyone's on the same page, that's so important.
It's about building trust and understanding, not just relying on legal documents.
Exactly. And if any questions come up or things get complicated, don't hesitate to seek professional legal advice.
Better safe than sorry, right? An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
You got it. Prevention is key.
It's been really fascinating exploring all the angles of Riddle v. Harmon with you. We've learned so much about the legal details, the practical implications, and even the philosophical side of things.
It's a case that really makes you think about the role of law in society and how it can adapt to changing needs.
Definitely. And with that in mind, we'll wrap up this part of our deep dive, but be sure to join us for the final installment where we'll get even more practical. We'll look at some hypothetical scenarios and see how Riddle v. Harmon might apply in real-world situations. All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've spent the last two parts really digging into Riddle v. Harmon, a case that changed the game for joint tenancies in California.
Yeah, it's amazing how much impact one case can have.
Totally. So we've talked about the history, the court's reasoning, the implications for estate planning. But let's get even more practical now. Let's see how Riddle plays out in some real-world scenarios.
Let's do it hypothetical time.
All right, so picture this. We have a couple, let's call them John and Jane. They own their home as joint tenants. Pretty common setup, right?
Very common.
But let's say John wants to leave his share of the property to his brother in his will.
Okay, interesting.
Now, before Riddle, John would have had to go through all that hassle with the straw man, right?
Yep. Finding a third party to hold the property temporarily just to break the joint tenancy was whole thing.
So much extra paperwork, so much time and effort.
And expense, too.
Exactly. But thanks to Riddle, John can skip all that now. He can just create a deed that directly transfers his interest from himself as a joint tenant to himself as a tenant in common.
It's so much simpler now. It's just a straightforward transfer.
No more middleman needed. It's like Riddle gave people this newfound power over their property.
It really did. It's about clarity and intention.
Right. So John needs to make sure his deed clearly states that he's severing the joint tenancy and creating a tenancy in common. No room for ambiguity there.
Absolutely. The language needs to be precise and unambiguous. And, you know, while John doesn't legally need Jane's consent to do this, it's always a good idea to talk to her about it.
Communication is key, right? Especially when you're dealing with something as important as property.
Couldn't agree more. Open communication can prevent so many problems down the road.
All right, let's try a different scenario. Let's say we have two business partners, Sarah and Michael. They bought a commercial property together as joint tenants.
Okay, classic business partnership.
Now let's say they decide to go their separate ways, dissolve the partnership. How would Riddle come into play here?
Well, Riddle makes things a lot easier for them to untangle their ownership. They can simply sever the joint tenancy.
So no need to create a whole new business entity or go through some complicated legal restructuring?
Nope. Riddle provides a clean and efficient way to handle this kind of situation.
So either Sarah or Michael could initiate the severance by transferring their interest to themselves as a tenant in common.
Exactly. It streamlines the whole process, saves time, money, and headaches for everyone involved.
It's like Riddle provides a roadmap for navigating these transitions, whether it's a personal or business relationship. It gives people the flexibility to adjust their ownership structures as their lives change.
I like that analogy. It's about giving people the tools to adapt to their circumstances.
But of course, Riddle isn't a magic solution for every situation, right? There are times when maintaining a joint tenancy might be the better choice.
You're right. Context is everything. We always need to consider the specific circumstances.
So when would you say keeping a joint tenancy makes more sense?
Well, like we discussed earlier, for married couples who want that automatic survivorship feature, joint tenancy can be a good fit. Or in cases where there are complex estate planning considerations, it's always best to consult with an experienced attorney before making any big decisions.
It's about choosing the right tool for the job, right?
Exactly. We need to weigh all the factors, the pros and cons of each option, and make sure we're giving our clients the best advice for their unique situation.
So if we had to sum up the essence of Riddle v. Harmon, what would you say is the key takeaway for our listeners?
I think Riddle represents a big win for practicality and individual autonomy in property law. It gives people more control over their property, and it allows them to structure their ownership in a way that reflects their needs and intentions.
It's about making the law work for people instead of the other way around.
Exactly. And it reminds us that knowledge is power. We need to stay informed, seek expert advice when necessary, and make choices that align with their goals.
Well said. And with that, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive into Riddle v. Harmon. It's been a fascinating journey exploring all the nuances and implications of this landmark case.
I agree. It's been a great discussion.
We hope you found it informative and insightful. And as always, remember to keep those legal minds engaged and keep those conversations going.
See you next time.